Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest updates from the world of sports, gambling, and pop culture. Because you can't have a show without hot takes or a Tiger King meme these days. Know what I'm saying? Now, with over 200 episodes and ready to get after it again, here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
All right, welcome to the show, everyone. Got quite a bit to go through, so we're going to break this up. But first, we'll get into March Madness in this episode, and then we'll record a little bit later on to discuss UFC 260 later tonight. So without much further ado, we'll talk about the Sweet 16 matchups in the NCAA tournament. A lot has gone on with the amount of upsets in the tournament thus far, as we've discussed already. And, you know, to be honest, it's not as though it should be that much of a shock. We said there was going to be variance in this tournament given the lack of a crowd and the amount of neutral factors kind of subduing what's going on. So we're going to talk about, you know, how to play it for Sweet 16 brackets and where I actually think some of these matchups are going to go. So, you know, when we're talking about, you know, in terms of value at the end of the day, if we're still discussing brackets, you know, at the end of the day, even in Sweet 16 brackets, the value is still going to be with Gonzaga. You know, the pool has shifted much smaller now, and we've lost a lot of the major contenders that had the capability of knocking off of Gonzaga. You know, you talk about Illinois being bounced, Ohio State getting bounced, Purdue being out, Iowa being out. You know, there are fewer teams that actually have the makeup to really knock out a Gonzaga. You still got Baylor in the mix, but, you know, that would only come in the championship game. So, realistically, it makes it that much harder to pick against Gonzaga moving forward. You know, they've got the matchup coming up today, but, you know, I kind of look at it again. You know, once they got past Oklahoma, I didn't really see all that much give them trouble. So it makes it a difficult kind of segue when we're going to say that, you know, beyond some of these matchups that Gonzaga isn't going to be there at the very end when we've talked about it from the outset. Gonzaga was the best team in the tournament. But it really is that simple. I just don't see a Creighton being able to pull off an upset on Gonzaga, a team left in the Sweet 16, in my opinion. And that includes Oral Roberts, of all teams, being in this field. I just don't think bad Creighton shows up far more often. And again, Creighton wasn't necessarily all that, has not looked that good so far in the tournament, even though they did manage to get to the Sweet 16. Sometimes the matchups matter. So I look at Gonzaga, and I see them moving on comfortably tomorrow. But let's talk about the games today. You know, first up, we got Loyola Chicago against Oregon State. Loyola Chicago actually favored against Oregon State. This is an interesting one because I expect this game to be low scoring, but I don't necessarily like Loyola Chicago being favored. The way Oregon State plays, they're going to play it slow and methodical, which is what Loyola Chicago wants. But Loyola Chicago is going to want the other side to be a little bit more aggressive with their shot taking and trying to be able to overextend in certain parts. And I don't think Oregon State's going to give it to them. So I think this game kind of comes down to can Loyola Chicago, with their opportunities beyond the arc, can they knock them down against Oregon State? Because we've seen Oregon State be able to shoot well from the free throw line. I'm not entirely sold, you know, again, Loyola Chicago's going to be able to need to shoot the ball well, and this could be a game where Oregon State slows it down enough and makes it a defensive struggle where Loyola Chicago could actually get tougher times to score the basketball than they did against Illinois. And I know that sounds weird, but it's one of those cases where matchup-wise, if the other team's not going to give you much to work with and not overextend offensively and give you transition baskets, it makes it a little bit tougher case to score the ball sometimes. And I do think that not being able to get transition buckets and some of the easier baskets where, defensively the team may gamble a bit more, I think Loyola Chicago could be in some trouble against Oregon State. So even though it's a 8-12 seed matchup, I think that line is a little bit mistaken. I think Loyola Chicago should only be favored by a point or two. I don't think it's a 6.5-point spread that the experts have it as. Vegas knows something I don't, but I'm not entirely sold on Loyola Chicago being able to dominate that matchup. Now, when it comes to Villanova facing off against Baylor, that line I can get behind because Villanova does have some injury issues. So Baylor being the 7.5-point favorite, Baylor can flex against Villanova because the areas where Villanova can get exposed upon in transition, I think Baylor has the team makeup that can actually make this a difficult game for Villanova to stay in if they fall behind early. So it becomes a case where Villanova has to get off to a quick start and be able to kind of push the tempo. So definitely a matchup where I like Baylor to win in the early matchup. I think it's a pick 'em. I think you could go with Oregon State or Loyola Chicago. Neither team winning would surprise me in the slightest. But for Baylor Nova, I really think Baylor's going to take that one. I don't necessarily see Villanova matching up well against Baylor. Now, Oral Roberts being the Cinderella of the tournament thus far, playing against Arkansas, I think Arkansas knocked off some of the rust to start the tournament. I do think that Arkansas gets things taken care of. It kind of comes down to a case where, we'll be looking at a scenario where, I could see Arkansas taking care of business against Oral Roberts pretty quickly, to be perfectly blunt. I don't necessarily see that game stretching out very far. I think maybe for the first 10, 15 minutes of the first half, but I really think Arkansas can put it on Oral Roberts and take care of business in short order. So that one makes it a little bit tougher. Houston against Syracuse. Houston should win that one, but Syracuse can make life very difficult with their zone. If Buddy Boeheim can shoot from beyond the arc and keep Syracuse in it, Houston at a 6.5-point favorite, I don't necessarily think it's going to be as lopsided in that fashion. I think it can be a closer matchup, but I think Syracuse definitely keeps it close for at least a half, and definitely should be an interesting one because I think tempo wise, this is another matchup where tempo is so critical to the overall scheme of things. But at the end of the day, I think Houston is one of those teams that could basically make it to the finals with Gonzaga. So I kind of look at this as a case where, you've got Baylor and you got Houston. These are the potential opponents I think are most likely to face Gonzaga in the finals. So, it's you've got some Cinderellas in the mix without question today with the Oregon State matchup with Loyola Chicago. And then, of course, Oral Roberts face off against Arkansas. But realistically, I'm looking at Baylor and Houston as the actual remaining threats against Gonzaga moving forward. So as we go to the Sunday matchups, early matchup is going to be the aforementioned Gonzaga against Creighton, I really don't see where Creighton has any advantages over Gonzaga. I think in the crux of play, you know, this line is just heavily slanted towards Gonzaga, you know, almost a 14-point spread. It really is a tough one where I don't see a whole lot. The matchup that I think we could see the upset is Michigan against Florida State. Now, Michigan has looked far better than I actually thought without Isaiah Livers. I thought without Livers, the Wolverines were very much in danger of getting knocked out early. Getting to this stage against Florida State, you know, Florida State doesn't really expose Michigan at the wings. So where you would, I would expect Michigan to be punished without having Livers in the lineup, Florida State really doesn't offer that much in that range. So I think in the East, you know, I think this is this 2.5 line for Michigan is actually a little bit on the low side. I actually like Michigan a bit more to beat Florida State because where you can punish Michigan, that's not really where Florida State excels. Florida State wants to rebound the ball, but Michigan's a very good rebounding team as well. So I don't necessarily see the advantages where Florida State's going to be able to pick apart the current weaknesses of this Wolverine squad. So I would lean more towards Michigan taking care of business than anything else. So it becomes a little bit of a guessing game, but I really, you know, as much as I was down on Michigan to begin with, I think they have one of the safer matchups this weekend. Alabama against UCLA. This is where it gets interesting because I think Alabama should be able to win this one. You know, the spread's 6.5, but Johnny Juzang has been lighting it up in this tournament, and I don't necessarily see the Crimson Tide actually having an answer for him. If UCLA can get that penetration in the lane and still be able to get off some perimeter open jumpers as they have in the tournament, this is a very difficult matchup for Alabama. So I'm not necessarily sold on Alabama matching up well. I think Alabama has a tougher matchup than Michigan does in the East. So to me, the line set should actually be flipped. I think Alabama should have Michigan's line of only 2.5, and I think Michigan should have Alabama's line of 6.5. But again, you know, I'm not Vegas, but it just seems as though the lines are actually flipped in the East region matchups based off of what we've got. And then in the late game, we've got two Pac-12 teams playing each other, Oregon against USC. They only played once in the regular season because there was a postponement due to COVID, but it's actually a bit of an interesting dynamic here because, you know, when we're looking at these matchups, you know, folks are favoring USC, but, you know, if you looked at Oregon's outside shooting against Iowa, you know, is it difficult to duplicate that performance? Absolutely. But I will say that, you know, if Oregon comes out with that kind of offensive firepower again in a half where they put on a clinic against Iowa, I mean, you know, scoring 56 points and a half, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like if you're scoring at that clip with Chris Duarte, you know, I don't necessarily see USC being able to keep pace with Oregon. Again, that's if Oregon is able to score with that level of proficiency. Not a lock by any stretch, but I think if Oregon gets that pace up, USC is in trouble. Back when USC and Oregon played, I believe this was they played at I think it was like February, to be honest. But like Oregon struggled mightily shooting from the field. And only scored about like 20 points in the first half. of play, and you know, it was a comfortable victory for USC. I mean, basically, USC has to just keep this game within a half court kind of style and shut down Oregon. If Oregon is able to get pace and get off shots and kind of use the 3-point line to their advantage, I think this is where USC gets into trouble. Now, USC being overall top team in the Pac-12 throughout the year, I think USC should be able to get the win. But, you know, again, this is where you're starting to say, you know, how do I differentiate myself when making picks? I actually think, you know, you could pick Oregon in a Sweet 16 bracket just to differentiate yourself and, you know, kind of go with more chalk picks in terms of Gonzaga and some of the other top seeds still left in the tournament. So that's where I would look to kind of make the plays. So, you know, that's where I think you got to start thinking about it. It's that, yeah, you can call for some upsets, but realistically, it's about the matchups. And Gonzaga's matchup, I think, is still too favorable to look past them as an overall favorite. You know, Michigan, I think they can get past Florida State. But Alabama's got a tricky one against UCLA. USC and Oregon, that's razor thin, in my opinion. And so, you know, realistically, like, how many teams do you think can get to the Final Four? It's like, basically, you're going Gonzaga or Baylor. And, you know, I still think that Baylor has a couple of other teams, like Houston, that could give them trouble later on. So it really does kind of come down to, you know, do we see another major, and I don't even say major upset, but it's like, you got to get like some surprise play going on that actually takes care of business. And that's where, you know, you can get the differentiators, in my opinion. So that's kind of where I'll leave things off. But should be some entertaining games coming up with the Sweet 16, and we'll leave it there. But enjoy the games, everyone, and until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all other major outlets.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.